We have it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. Welcome in. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. It also happens to be my birthday.
Yeah, man.
The big 4-0.
Grown-ass, mother-loving man today.
Feel great.
Yeah,
feel
man.
Feel great. Never felt better. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Happy birthday to your
Thank
brother,
you.
Man. As it is a Tuesday here on the Midday Show, and Andy's officially in the 4-0 club.
I'm there. I made it.
You there. You made it and all that other stuff. Don't feel no different, but as we all in the 4-0 club says, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome you. To
happy
the club.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Don't take it for granted.
I've been
man.
Waiting in line for 39 years.
Exactly. You only turn 40 once.
That's true. You only turn 40 once.
Yeah, so make sure you embrace this day, this situation, and make it the best day ever.
I absolutely going to. Looking forward to the next 3 hours. There's tons to talk about. Me and my brother are going to play some golf this afternoon. Going to have the family over this evening, grill some steaks, have some beers. That'll be fun. And there'll be a Braves game on television to watch and to hopefully enjoy. It's up to them.
It's must win, dog.
It's up to them to make sure we enjoy it. But yeah.
It's a must win series, but a must win series means all three of these things. They need to get all three of them, man. And you know, we're talking about it. They got the day off, and it's crazy because it's coming down to they got to beat the Mets. And the Mets got to hold off the Mets got to hold the Braves off, and the Braves got to go catch them, basically is what we're saying. And so now you're in a situation where when your best is needed, they need you. We need your best now. We need everybody to play their best game. I know the Kansas City Royal Series is still there, but they can't get to and worry about that one until they get this one.
Yeah.
Because if they don't take care of business here, that last series against Kansas City is just going to be that.
Oh,
last series.
It quite literally can be over if you get swept by the Mets. You get swept by the Mets, you're five games out, and you're out. Now, the interesting – I don't know. I'm focused on the Mets. I want them
to
beat the Mets. That's what matters. Also, you hate the Mets. No one really has many feelings about the Arizona Diamondbacks. But they're only a game and a half behind the Arizona Diamondbacks. And if that's what it takes to sneak into the playoffs,
I'll take it.
Yep. Whatever it is. Like, I want the Braves to get into the playoffs, period. Whether it's because they catch the Diamondbacks or they take care of business. Now, they have to take care of business against the Mets in order for that to be possible anyway. But you're playing the Mets. You have the Mets for three. Nobody thought this was going to be the scenario in the season. You have the Mets tonight on the day after the Phillies clinched the division last night. So your streak of division wins is over. That is what it is. That was coming for a while now. In fact, it's surprising to me that the Phillies haven't wrapped it up yet because it seems like they've been the best team in the division for a long time.
They've been pulled jabbing around.
That's more credit. Yeah, they have. And it's a credit to the Mets for how well they've played and the fact they took three out of four of them over the weekend and all that. But, yeah, man, you know, as bad as things have been this season, and they've been bad.
Yes.
Like, this season has sucked, flat out. Like, there's no other way to put it. It's frustrating. Like, most
it's been a damn disaster.
It's been a disaster. Everybody's been injured. Like, they haven't played well. The offense isn't any good. The pitching has been incredible, which is why you're here in the first place, which you got to have again. Schellenbach's got to be great tonight.
Let's go, Schwelly.
That's a lot to ask of a rookie, but he's been really good, and that's why he's a part of it. Chris Sale tomorrow, who's going to win the NL Cy Young, and Max Fried in the final game on Thursday. But it starts with Spencer Schellenbach tonight. He's got to be great.
He's
got to
be great
tonight.
He's got to be great, and they got to be great around him. I mean, it's all for naught if he pitches his ass off. You only score.
Yeah, don't
one
lose
run.
One nothing.
You know what I mean?
Don't lose one nothing.
They've got to do this thing, and it's been. I mean, you saw, of course, you've seen glimpses of this team all year long playing good baseball. They got to play great baseball. The guys who were the backups filling in for whatever, they got to play at least good. Soler, have your best fielding day of your life. Your best fielding series of your life.
I just, like, play it conservative, you know?
Yeah,
just play it conservative.
It's okay.
Don't try to do too much.
It's okay if it's a single. Don't turn it into a damn triple.
Even a double's okay.
You know what I mean?
Let a double be a double. Yeah. Don't turn it into a triple.
Yeah, man.
Don't hurt yourself out
there. Yeah, this is, like the Braves have been in postseason mode for a while, trying to get to the postseason.
Yeah, that's
true. All these games are must wins, and every time you trick off a game to the damn Marlins, it feels just so much disaster than it usually is. But that's the case every year. And eventually you start going back, and I hear, you know, there are still games that you think about, well, what if you would have won this game?
Oh.
You know, what if you would have won this series?
What if you wouldn't have lost the season series to the Reds? What if you wouldn't have lost the season series to the Nationals? What if you would have showed up for that makeup game against the White Sox, who are going to lose 100,000 games this year?
But
here's the thing about it, though. Part of it is, like, they didn't show up for those games, and part of it is, you know, they whatever. But also, part of it is they're not that good.
This roster is constructed the way it is or was then, they still should have beat them teams. Those teams are awful than a reconstructed Braves team.
Yes, definitely. Man. Definitely. But in 162, you lose bad games. And when you're not a good team, you lose bad games.
And that's the part that sucks. When they say you 60 losses, 60 wins, and somewhere in the middle is the side, which you're something like that.
And you know how many in the middle they've had? 25. Yeah, they have 85 wins. It's not very good.
It's just been a situation where it's
they got to go 5-1 in the final six to get to 90.
It's just a frustrating
thing. This is a team that was supposed to win. They won 105 last year.
Yeah.
They're 20 games off that pace, and we know why.
Yes.
Ronald Acuña went 40-70 last year. Matt Olson, and part of it is I don't know, excusable. Like, the Ronald Acuña part is excusable. He's hurt. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Like, some of these guys have, like, Strider being out, there's nothing you can do about. Like, certain injuries, there's nothing you can do. Matt Olson just hadn't been great for the majority. Now, he's been better lately. Mm-hmm. Been better lately. Austin Riley missing the last month and a half. There's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
Like, certain parts of it you can wrap your mind around, and it's not as infuriating as it would. Like, if someone had told me that you'd be in this position with 85 wins, desperately needing to beat the Mets, second to last series of the year, to get there, I'd be like, dang.
Yeah, man.
But then you get all the context, and it's like, okay, I understand that. Which is, again, why I hope they do it. I hope they take care of the Mets in this three-game series. I hope that they do what they need to do against the Royals, get into the playoffs, and who knows. But if they don't, like, I'm not furious about
it because of the way the season went. A lot of times, I don't say giving up on the season. I think the reality started setting in a lot more.
Yeah, it's just being honest.
It's just what it is, man. And I think the one thing that a lot, you know, you would hear people maybe hanging their hat on, well, they won the World Series without Ronald before.
True.
You know, and that was just, very rarely do you win big things without your best player.
And they only won 88 games that year.
That is true.
They're going to have to win more than 88 games this year to get into the playoffs.
And so you're in this must-win, and you talked about the young kid, Schwelly. He's on the mound tonight. He's been really good, but you got to help him out. Obviously, Chris Sale, he's been, like you said, he's going to win the NL Cy Young. He's been great all year. If they can get those two, I need to see Max.
Yeah.
I need to see Freed, but I can't get there yet. All right, it's Schwelly tonight. And they take on, Severino.
Luis Severino, he's good.
He's a good pitcher.
Yeah, he's a good pitcher.
He's a very good pitcher.
You got David Peterson tomorrow, and you got Sean Manaea on Thursday. Those are all good pitchers. The Mets are good. Like, that were pretty good. Because if we're going to say the Braves are here because they're not that good, we can't say the Mets are all that good and they're almost the exact same place, right? Like, the Mets are okay.
But they got good right
They've
the right
been
time.
Better lately.
Exactly.
There's no doubt. The Mets have had a very good couple of months.
They got better at the right time.
Now, their best guy is not playing.
Yes, I saw that.
Francisco Lindor hadn't played since September 15th.
Yes.
And
what is going on with him?
He's got a back injury. He's hopeful to be back before the end of the season.
Okay.
There's only six games left, so the end of the season, okay. Probably not playing tonight.
He's playing his ass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the only guy in the National League that, I don't even know what this means, but the only guy that's in the conversation for NL MVP.
NL
MVP.
Hold on.
Okay.
What conversation is that? Yeah. That conversation been shut down.
I don't even know what people mean when they say in the conversation. Because there's one guy that's going to win the MVP of the National League who went 50-50. Then there's other guys that will get votes because they have to. But it's not in the conversation.
What do you mean they have to?
Well, everybody, they got to vote for multiple guys. You vote first place, second place, third place when you're a voter. So Lindor will get votes.
Who's going to be the guy that gives away a first place vote?
Probably somebody.
Yeah.
Some dork who covers the Mets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but again, like, just because you get them because you have to, because they have to vote for multiple guys, doesn't mean you're in the conversation.
I understand that part.
Shohei Ohtani's the MVP of the National League.
He's the MVP of baseball.
To me, he is.
And then Aaron Judge, of course, because that guy, he's just sick. But I mean, this dude, conversation. Conversation is hello, bye.
I guess you and I are talking about it right now.
There
so it's, but like, that's also like, you can say anything and then it's in the conversation.
Hello, bye.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's the conversation.
You
right
can make any, you can add anything to the conversation if you want
MVP.
To.
Hello, bye. I mean, that's
nice
the,
to not have Lindor in the lineup tonight, though.
Yeah.
And hopefully for the entire season. Now, that's not, we don't know for sure because he's not on the IL or anything like that. But
you can wake up with that bike feeling good today.
You never know. You never know. And again, he did say he was going to try to get in there before the season ended. Obviously, he'll try to be back in the playoffs as well. But yeah, hopefully he doesn't. I hope he doesn't play.
Expenses required.
I don't want to see him.
All Matt Olson and Ozzie and Michael Harris and the guys who are staples with this team, they got to play great. And then the other guys got to come along and not screw it up, basically what we're saying right now. And it's going to be crucial because this is win or go home, in my opinion, this series right here. It's win or go home. I don't know all the other numbers. And if this goes this way, all I know is that you have to win all three of these games.
Probably.
All three.
Probably.
Yeah.
If you don't, and you win two out of three, then you are tied for the wild card, but you have the season tiebreaker against the Mets. So if you win two out of three, then you have the tiebreaker, which then makes it a little bit easier as long as you take care of business in that Royals series to still get in.
Yeah.
Like, there's multiple paths to getting into
the
playoffs.
Yeah, I understand that, but I need them to win these three.
Well, yeah, of course. And, yes. And like, there's no reason to worry about that until you have to worry about that. If you sweep the Mets, then you have the lead on them for the wild card.
Correct.
And then you control your own destiny. That's the nice part about it, is given everything that's happened up until this point, you still control your own destiny because you have three against one of the teams that you're chasing. And if you catch them, then you have three against a team that you can absolutely beat in the Royals. So you just got to do it. I mean, you just have to actually handle your business. Now, what would tell you about this season that these next six games are going to go like that?
Not a damn thing.
You know what I mean? Of course not.
Not a damn thing.
I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're gonna handle their business enough to the point where that final game on Sunday is going to be for something.
Yeah.
That last game of the season against the Royals is going to be for something.
Yeah.
Hopefully they win it. But that's what this season is.
Yeah.
Nothing about this season tells me they just go 6-0 and get to the playoffs without sweating.
Not one damn thing.
Zero.
So that's why.
Zero.
So that's why it's probably going to happen.
Oh yeah, right. I guess the most unexpected thing would be that.
Yeah.
Winning all these games like 8-2, no sweat, and getting in. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So I'll take that.
Probably going to happen.
I'll take that. All right. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's trending here on a Tuesday morning. Lots of football as week three is in the books. Just a fun way to end week three last night. Now, so much for the rookie quarterbacks aren't playing well. One of them is. One of them's incredible. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I mean, they're none of them are easy. I mean, we won 100 games the last 2 years, and it wasn't easy. But this has kind of taken it to the next level. You know what? Well, I think organizationally we've done a great job of staying in the thick of things here. And, you know, like I said earlier, I'm proud of these guys. I think we went out. We got – I told Whit Merrifield one day, I said, we're running out of you retreads to even play anymore. You know, so
that's a hilarious thing to tell a guy. That's Brian Snitker earlier this morning on with the Steakhouse, talking about the situation that his baseball team is in and what faces them over the next six games. He's right. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
No.
Nonetheless, you've got an opportunity to make the playoffs, which is fantastic. You've got to handle your business the final week of the season. You know who the guy is that's been filling in for Lindor since he's been out?
No.
Kind of hurts a little bit.
He Chavera.
Cunha's brother.
Oh, yeah. We saw the home run. Yeah. Man, Samson saw the home run.
Luis Angel Acuña.
Yeah, dog.
11 for 29 with three homers and six RBIs since he's taken over for Lindor in his absence.
I didn't know his brother was a shortstop. But I'm telling you, if he goes yard, does he do Ronald's?
All of it. I bet.
Does he do all the –
why
all
wouldn't
the,
he?
All the – No, he
I would.
Do that.
If
he
I was him, I'd be Euro stepping around third.
No, that's big bro.
Why?
That's big bro, man. Show some respect.
To who?
Show some respect. I mean, I'm just talking.
You must not have little brothers.
No, I do not.
Because my little brothers, the last thing they're going to ever show me is much respect, especially if they can have an opportunity to do stuff like that. They're going to hit the shiver. They're going to hit the Euro step. I just hope he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Boy, with that, like. That might be like the coldest way for the season to end.
Yes.
For Acuña's out like the whole year pretty much with his injury. Like his brother's filling in for Lindor because of an injury and he comes in here and goes off this series. Dang.
Be mad.
That would be.
It'd be bad.
That'd suck. I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't be fond of that.
Go out there and pitch well, and let him do it.
Okay,
I know it sounds easier, but I mean,
why?
These are.
If I was pitching, I would.
These are your three best right here. I mean,
yeah,
for the Braves, like. These are the three guys that you probably, with the season on the line or whatever, playoff on the line, you want these three guys. And so they just got to go out there and, I mean, do basically what they've been doing all year pretty much. And just be out there, be solid, be good. But the other guys, and I'm talking about the dudes that have the bats, have got to show up and do their thing.
Yeah, Harris.
They got to do their thing.
Harris been hot lately. Yes. Hopefully he continues. That would be awesome again. You just have to get hot now.
That's it.
Everything's forgiven. I'm not talking about Harris because he's been mostly good, especially since he's been healthy like the last month. But Harris, Ozzie's back. Great. We'll just pretend you've always been here.
Mm-hmm.
Get hot now. Ozuna batting third. Olsen fourth. Soler, like, this is a pretty good lineup if these guys are hitting. Now, the bottom of it is going to be what it is. Like, Sean Murphy's just having a dog blank season.
I can't have it.
Well.
I mean, I understand.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, the total picture.
I know Darno's going to play tonight, which is nice.
But no. That's why I said your best is required today. I understand Sean Murphy struggled all year.
I just don't know what his best is right now.
I don't know either.
You know what I mean?
It's got to be elevate it more than this. If he's at a five, give us a sim.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I think Arcia offensively has probably been at about a three.
Okay, so give us a five.
Yeah.
Get a couple hits.
Just try to not have, like, and what sucks about him is, and this is what baseball does to you, anytime you're in sort of a rut, it finds you.
Yes.
The lineup finds you. The ball finds you. You're going to make errors if you're unsure, or you're going to be up in important situations if you can't hit. Seems like he's been up in every important situation. Seriously.
I know.
It seems like every time they've needed a clutch hit in the last month, Arcia's been at the plate, and those at-bats have been...
He's not cashing in.
Like, they've not been major league level. Like, they've been offensively bad. So, yeah, be a little better than that.
He's saying he's put too much pressure on himself? I don't know. Like,
no.
You're a professional ball player, dude.
No,
We've seen you play good. We've seen you hit good.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I don't know if you got pressing or whatever, but damn, you need... Your team is fighting for their lives. We need you to play better. Just a little uptick. Just a little uptick in your performance at the bat. A lot of uptick would be better, but just a little bit.
If there's less than two outs and there's a runner on third, just get the ball in play in the outfield.
Right.
Like
maybe
just in play.
The sun or something.
Just like, and then they can tag and score from third. You can't strike out flailing, which is what's happened a lot in those at bats. Anyway, everybody's got to play well in order to take care of business this three game series against the Mets. Then hopefully you have some control of what happens against the Royals, but you can worry about that when you get there. Awesome, awesome Monday night. Well, there was one Monday night game last night. One terrible Monday night game last night. And we can talk about what's wrong with the Jaguars in just a minute, or what's right with the Bills, however you want to put it. But Jaden Daniels was phenomenal last night, and here is probably the best throw.
Third down and seven. Fourth quarter clock stopped at 2:15. Washington leads by five. They're at the Bengal 27. Shotgun snap to Daniels. Blitzes on. Throws an arching spiral pass into the end zone, and it was caught by McLaurin. Was he in the corner? Yes! Yes, he was! Touchdown! In the back corner of the end zone! 27-yard touchdown! Knee was down, ball was caught, 2:10 to play, and if it stands, Washington would go up by 11.
What a freaking throw.
One of the great throws you're ever going to see.
What a freaking throw,
with
man.
A pass rusher just absolutely barreling down on him. He got smoked after he let that ball go.
What a freaking throw.
Drops it in a bucket where only Terry McLaurin can catch it. He catches it. Touchdown, and they scored on every offensive possession last night.
He threw another one earlier in the game to Terry.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, this kid, and then he used his athleticism, you know, ran in for a touchdown. I mean, the kid is, and he's figuring it out slowly but surely, and he's getting better and better, and they're allowing him to do more and more. But, I mean, yeah, that throw, those two throws, the one to Terry and then one, they're both under Terry, were just A++ throws by this young kid, especially that last one. Like you said, they had a free blitzer, and he was coming full speed.
And he saw him,
too. And he saw him.
It wasn't like it was a surprise. He just stared him right in the face and made that throw.
He saw him coming for you, and, I mean, just to have the poise and know that, okay, I'm going to take this one, but I'll make them pay. And then, I mean, just a great throw. Great catch by Terry, who is not off to, you know, the season that he wants to have. But, I mean, he even said it, you know, as long as we win games. And so the offense got together. Last time they won, they had seven field goals. So they got in the end zone this time. And, like I said, scored on every possession. But, I mean, I think just everything they got to run, they're able to run the football physically, talking about with Dan and those guys up there. And they're not putting too much on this kid. I mean, they're letting him develop, but yet – they're helping him out around. They went and got him a really good center in the offseason from the Dallas Cowboys. Would have put some parts on the offensive line to help him out so he won't get beat up. But, yeah, just a prime time gem by that kid.
Yeah, beautiful performance last night from Jaden Daniels. And it's kind of fun to see them giving him a little bit more every week.
Yes.
And they'll continue to do that for sure. And there'll be bumps in the road. He's a rookie. Things are going to happen. The one thing that with him, for me, always stands out is, and he did a pretty good job of it last night, he's just got to get down.
Yeah.
He's just not a very big guy.
Yeah.
So he's got to avoid that contact. Because when he's in the pocket, or even when he's outside the pocket throwing it, he's dynamic.
Yeah,
man.
I don't
understand passer rating, because I don't know how that isn't perfect. Like, he went 21-23 with two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
No interceptions, but that's a 141.7. I know Kyler had a perfect one a couple weeks ago.
Right.
It was better than that. I guess he threw another touchdown or something like that. But I don't
and the thing about it was,
I don't know how the calculation goes, but I watched it and that looked perfect.
And it wasn't like dink and dunks.
No,
he was putting.
He was
the ball
averaging
in the
12
air.
Yards a throw or 11
ball,
yards
he
a throw.
Putting the ball in the air yesterday, man. And he said it. His development is only going to continue to get better and better. And this will be bumps in the road. And it's, and I think it's always. And I don't want to put. I'm not gonna say human nature, people's nature to want to compare already him and Caleb Williams. Well, look at Caleb's game and how his offense is functioning. Look how that one is functioning.
Yeah, I mean, there's a middle ground between Caleb sucks and
yes.
Jaden's awesome.
Yes.
There's also a middle ground between what Jaden's doing right now and, like, Washington finally finding a franchise quarterback. Maybe.
Maybe.
Like, he's having a really nice
Maybe.
Start, and that's great. You know, like, just enjoy it. You know what I mean? You don't have to sort of make
exactly.
it that crazy thing and, you know, comparison to RG3, because RG3 got off to a great start, but, you know,
awesome.
Got hit a bunch
yep.
and his knee went out because that field sucked.
And that's in that rookie year.
Yeah, it was in that rookie year. Yep. So just, I don't know. Everyone wants to make some, I don't know, they want to be the first one to say something crazy and be right about it. Joe Burrow was really good last night,
too. I thought
he
was, too.
He was really good.
I thought Joe Burrow was good.
I don't know what else he could have done.
Boy, that damn, Jamar Chase is so just smooth with his, man. You saw some T. Higgins flash. They're just unhealthy. And then their defense,
defense
man,
is horrible.
It's just bad.
It's terrible.
It's just bad.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
all their best guys play for other teams.
And that's the crazy thing about it. They had good players.
They did.
They had good players.
And they went to the Super Bowl.
They went to the Super Bowl with
those
good players.
And now Jesse Bates is here.
Because
and other guys are other
because
places.
Because you're focusing all your bread on one area, the offensive side of the ball.
Yep.
And they're going to lose another one. Trey Henderson, they're not going to pay Trey, even though they should.
Nope.
And so you're here where you're like, okay, Joe, you have to carry this franchise right now. And, you know, for them to be 0-3 is big, you know. Now, understandably, being 0-1, maybe 0-2, because of the fact that nobody was there all offseason.
Yep.
T. Higgins is out. Jamar was getting his legs up under himself. And, you know, and Joe, you know, he's still a little rushed and everything with that wrist injury. So, but the Bengals, I think they're just they're too good at quarterback and on offense. I know Broderick has a start now. Not Broderick, but
Marius.
Marius, thank you. He has a start now because he saw Big Brown went out last night, and I saw the clip of it. It just looked so disgusting how his knee just looked like it just exploded, man. But so, I mean, I liked when I saw him coming again. They ran like a heavy formation with him at tight end, and he like lifted up the linebacker one hand.
For Amarius Mims?
Yeah, he lifted up the linebacker one hand and walked him back like 5 feet. like, good Lord.
Also had a big guy touchdown.
Yeah, man.
Always love a thick six.
Yeah, man.
In that game.
And then you love the celebration and everything. But, yeah, I mean, they're at Washington. They're right where they need to be in this kid's development. And they're in a division where they can go out and win it.
Yes.
They can go win this division. But he's got to stay on that path because – And as an organization, you got to stay on that path with a young quarterback, knowing there could be something, a setback. Not necessarily a setback, just a rookie.
Well, yeah. It, being a rookie could pop up. Or, again, like he's just kind of slight of frame.
Yeah.
Like you have to protect him and hope that he can stay healthy all year. As for Cincinnati being 0-3, like obviously that's basically a death sentence in the NFL the last 30 years.
Right.
I do think it's a little different now with that extra game, but still not great. But you look at the AFC, like – there's a lot of teams that you thought were going to be good that are off to bad starts.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore's 1-2. Cleveland's 1-2. That division in and of itself. Mm-hmm. The Steelers are 3-0, but they're all right.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see.
We'll see
if they can maintain that. Miami's 1-2, and obviously their quarterback is hurt. That's a really big deal. Jacksonville's 0-3.
Yes.
And people thought they were going to be decent. They don't look decent at all.
No, I think a lot is put on Trevor, rightfully so, whatever, but they just don't have the skill. He lost Evan in a damn warm up.
That's his favorite guy.
And that's his favorite guy, his most reliable guy. And then you're with these with Kirk and these guys. They're good receivers, but are they like run the passing game receivers?
I don't think they have
running the ball enough with Etienne. I mean, he's probably your best offensive player. I mean, they're not getting him the ball enough. But I think going back to Buffalo, man, Josh Allen just looks so much comfortable.
Yes.
They're running the football. They're not asking him to do too much. And then when he has to do what he has to do, he's not throwing the ball. He has one turnover, and that's a fumble, 9 touchdowns. I mean, the dude is really, really, like, answering the question of what happens because Steph Diggs is gone.
Yeah, the question is, can he do it, basically put the team on his shoulders and do it?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and as long as he limits the turnovers, like you said, then absolutely yes.
Yes.
Like, he's been able to make up for those turnovers with his great play before. If there's no turnovers,
then
the sky's the limit.
Watch out.
Also, amazing moment last night.
Loved it.
Yeah, you get the interception from DeMar Hamlin. His first career interception. It comes on Monday Night Football.
Crazy.
Almost 2 years removed from, I mean, died on the field. So he's back out there, man. Unbelievable loved stuff. It. And the Jaguars aren't good. Bills are pretty good. Jaguars
are pretty good. Did they fire Peterson during the
season? If it keeps going like this, man.
Gotta go.
Gotta do something. Kaler, I mean, they just gave Trevor all that money, so he's not going anywhere, obviously.
They look at it from, remember, we talked about when he got that contract. Just look at the structure. Yeah. Like, that contract don't hit for 2 more years.
That's true.
And so, I saw today there's some outs.
That's 9 straight losses. Yeah,
there's some outs. I know.
9 straight losses for
now.
All right, we'll come back. Mike Conte is going to join us. We did some Hawks commercials earlier. Hawks season's right around the corner. Don't look now.
Catch it.
Catch it. Catch what? The fever. Catch it. We'll get his thoughts on what happened with the Falcons on Sunday Night Football as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Tuesday morning. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. 20 minutes away from getting back into an NFL no huddle. We'll spend a little bit more time on those games from last night because that Washington game really was something. Really fun to see a young quarterback have a game like that. Not as much fun on the other side with the Bills and the Jags, but nonetheless, week 3 is in the books. Start turning the page to the Saints on Sunday for the Falcons. We'll get to all of that. But before we do, Tuesdays at 11:40 means Mike Conte joins the show. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am great. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Officially.
Thank you.
It's been like a 4-day birthday celebration around here.
I know. That's why it's like, I appreciate it.
You're getting closure now on your birthday.
Well, Saturday was the celebration, right?
Yeah,
and we did it,
right,
and we went for it and all that kind of stuff to the point where that felt like the day.
Yeah.
And then today I was like, oh, yeah, it is.
Is this a round number, by the way?
It is my birthday.
It is a round number.
It is a round number.
Yes.
Are you in the 40 club now?
I'm there now. Yep.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you, Randy. Welcome me a little bit earlier.
It's not a hideous place to be.
It is not.
I was really dreading it when I turned 40. I thought, it's all going downhill from here. And Fricky actually was the one who talked me off the ledge on my 43rd. I'm not joking. He talked me off the ledge. He said 40th is really the best age, you know, because you're old enough where now you are really fully on your own. You're independent. You've probably made a little bit of money. You can enjoy it. But at the same time, you're young enough where you aren't breaking down yet. And I thought, okay, I'll take that.
Right.
That puts good perspective.
It's a
on
good
it.
Idea to talk to people that are well past 40
which
to appreciate
is.
It. You know what I mean?
Which he is.
Because he'd trade 40 for, 73 or
trade
whatever.
Trade 40 for
whatever it is.
78 right now.
Carl also sent me a really nice text on Saturday because he couldn't be at the party, but about like in this job, like a lot, because you spend the first 10 years, 15 years, whatever,
making
$0, working overnight and hoping to get to here. I feel really happy about where we're at. We just celebrated five years as a show earlier this year. And then hopefully for the entirety of this decade, I mean, hopefully we're doing this.
You know I got
mean?
Like,
I'd like to be 50 doing this same thing. As much fun as we're having at 40 and 35 and all that, doing the same thing. So he was like, really what hopefully you can do is you've gotten to the point where now you just start building on it and all that kind of stuff. So
that's a great point.
Yeah.
By the way, I need to see you in my office after this. Just kidding.
That'd be a
just
bummer.
Kidding.
That'd be a bummer. Yeah, Mike, you're the one that gets to determine whether or not that happens. So let's make it happen.
Not me alone, me and many others. But no, we love you guys and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Enjoy the 40 Club. It's not so bad.
Thank you. I'm happy to be there. What did you take out of when you're thinking about Sunday night? Do you think about Sunday night and the final two drives in the fourth quarter, or do you think about the first 3 weeks and the team in general? Like, with a little bit of time removed from it now, where's your mind?
It's exactly where it was Sunday night when Bijan got stuffed on that play. The Falcons, they're pretty good. They're playing and hanging in against Kansas City, the defending world champions, and the Steelers, who are 3-0, and Philadelphia, who looks like they're probably a playoff team. They're trading punches with all three of those teams. They only have one win to show for it, though, and that tells me they're good. They're okay. They're not great.
Right.
Yet, I still think they can evolve to be. It's really interesting, and you don't like playing this game 4 weeks into the season, but there is a certain feel to this schedule that reminds me of 2016, where that 2016 schedule was front-loaded. And you had a really late bye that year. I don't know if you remember. Mm-hmm. And you came out of the bye, and you actually played the Chiefs. and you lost to them. They had that 2-point conversion thing with
Eric Berry.
Eric Berry,
the
Falcons by himself.
He had a pick six and a pick
but
two.
But you knew after that you were going to play bums.
Yep.
And you kind of really got some momentum going against bums, and that momentum got you into the postseason and carried you all the way to the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying this team is a Super Bowl team by any stretch, but if you look at how the schedule is going to kind of break out the second half of the year, and in particular the final 4 weeks of the year, Raiders, Giants, Panthers, you have a runway at the end of the year where you can maybe absorb some losses early in the year and hopefully make up for it at the end and get to 9-8 or 10-7. I think 9-8 is going to get you in the playoffs.
Right.
It's happened 6 times in the last 2 years. I want to say 9-8 getting you in. So to me, Andy, long answer to a short question, this feels like a playoff team to me. It does not feel like a Super Bowl contending team to me. And I think they should feel pretty good about trading punches with the Chiefs and not getting knocked out of that game in the third quarter when it looked like the Chiefs had all the momentum and they went up by 8. And if Butker makes that extra point, it's a 2-possession game. Maybe it feels a little bit different. But that defense was out there getting stops at the end. The offense, again, for the most part, moving the ball, except on third downs and except in the red zone.
Mike, when you look at the final score and the 2 possessions where you don't take the points, is that the whatever card that is, or is that because Patrick Mahomes is on the other side?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both, but it might be more the card. I hate analytics.
Oh, yeah.
It drives me nuts. And you had it right away on Twitter. Take the points. On the first one, right. Take the points. However, I would also point out that the Falcons handed Kansas City a field goal at the end of the first half. Handed them. Cousins throws an interception deep in your own territory, not taking care of the ball again. You give Kansas City 3 points. That is probably more massive than the Falcons passing on the field goal last possession of the game, because everything shapes out differently from that point forward from a game management standpoint. So you can blame coaching errors, but it goes hand in hand with the execution errors, and the execution errors in this case actually set up the coach. I think it's more nuanced than just they should have taken field goals on their last 2 drives, because in hindsight, absolutely they should have. But then again, you give Patrick Mahomes the ball on the 30 and about a minute to play and a timeout or two, Kansas City's going to probably win that game in regulation.
It's possible. It's
unless
possible.
You get it.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, obviously, there's a million different kind of ways that game plays out depending on what happens when and all that. But I would have liked to have seen it. You know what
Me
I mean?
Too. Like, yeah,
I would have liked to have put them in the position to have done it. How much differently do we analyze this first? Because it's not really the first quarter of the season anymore now with 17 games, but we still talk about it like that. Final game of the first quarter of the season is Sunday against your hated rival. Mm-hmm. You win that game, you're 2-2, tough start to the schedule, all that kind of stuff, feel good. You don't, 1-3, that's 3 losses at home, you lost your rival.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you're like, in last place.
I feel like this game on Sunday, and not to say that against the Chiefs wasn't a big deal or against the other teams you played aren't a big deal, this game holds so much more weight and so much more importance.
Especially because around to next Thursday and a Tampa team that could come in and beat you again, and now you could be 0-4 at home.
Yeah.
And 1-4 and 2 divisional losses, and you're done.
Pretty much.
I mean, you're
pretty
done.
Much.
If you're 1-4 losses and 0-2 in the division, it's over. And I know I was saying after the Philadelphia game, it was a gross overreaction to say the season would have been over if the Falcons had lost that Eagles game to go in 0-2. It's different because you haven't yet played a divisional game. You know, now 0-2 with 2 divisional home losses, you're in real trouble. I'm with you. I look at really the next 9 days. It's not just Sunday. It's the following Thursday. That's what's critical. You've got to win both of those games. And then you get some breathing room. Hopefully Carolina, what they did was a little bit of an Andy Dalton bump.
New QB energy.
Yeah. And that was embarrassing by the Raiders, by the way. I mean,
that's what they do. Raiders. That's the Raiders.
No, I know. But hopefully, Carolina's not loading up for something unexpected. The thing that hurts you a little bit is when you look down in that middle part of the season where you thought Seattle would be a probably easy win. Well, now maybe not. They're 3-0. You're hoping Washington would be an easy win. They look better than expected. Tampa looks better than expected. We were optimistic about some of these games after the first four on your schedule where the Falcons should get some easy home wins. And I think what we've learned in the first 3 weeks of the NFL season is outside of maybe one or two teams, everyone's competitive in this league this year, including the Falcons.
The Saints are coming into town, and obviously they're coming off of a loss at home to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Where do you think they are? Or do you think they're right in the middle? Because they were on fire.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Dallas can't stop the run. Now we see that. And
right.
Then, who's the first win against? Was it Carolina? Carolina.
Yeah. Carolina's Carolina.
Okay, so you got those two games. Yeah. And then your third game, you go against a better team, and you score 13 or whatever points. What do you think they're in between there, or do you think they're closer to what we saw against the Eagles?
What stood out to me about that game, and I watched almost all of it on Sunday, the Saints-Eagles game, is the Saints' defense was flying around. Very, very active. Had more success, aside from one explosive play, more success stopping the run of Philadelphia than the Falcons did. Mm-hmm. Now the Falcons, needing to run the ball to try to be a little bit balanced and potentially being without at least one, maybe two of your starting offensive linemen, that scares me a little bit, going up against that Saints front seven. But all that being said, yeah, I mean, they struggled to move the ball against Philadelphia. And they made some mistakes. They turned the ball over. They had some special teams mistakes. They were playing on their home field, and they were not perfect. So I think it's very much a winnable game. But the pressure's on Atlanta.
Right.
The pressure is absolutely on Atlanta in this game. They're, you know, the Saints come in, they probably feel like if they get a win out of this game, it's a bonus. You know, they'll come in here, they'll try to win, obviously, but all the pressure's on Atlanta right now. Oh boy, good pull, Bo.
They're under pressure. Well, you know who's really under pressure? Atlanta United. Must win.
Must win in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then must win in Montreal. And then must win against the Red Bulls. Have they won three games in a row all year?
No. I don't think so. I don't think that's happening. When's the last time they won three games in a row?
We were talking about that. It's been a long time since they've had a 9-point week, and that's what they're going to need. It's really too bad. They were so close.
Yeah.
So close on Saturday.
Yeah.
Really too bad.
Just a couple minutes away. All right, Mike. We appreciate it.
Happy birthday again.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle, including a record that was set by the Chiefs and the Falcons on Sunday night. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.